Radio Sport.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard, and over the next hour we'll be taking a look at the sporting action coming up for the Isle of Man, both on Manx shores and further afield, coming up tonight. Defending Premier League champions meet the current league leaders among this Saturday's Isle of Man men's football fixtures. Sunday sees the start of the new women's football season on Ireland. We've been catching up with one of the new teams joining the league this campaign. On a run of five straight defeats, FC Isle of Man's manager says his team must be brave and fearless when they host Charnock Richard tomorrow. A trio of Manx rugby sides are in action this weekend on the road, and Saturday marks the start of the new hockey season. That's all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard and the team with you here for the next hour, taking a look ahead to the sporting action on Isle of Man and beyond this weekend. We have a packed schedule of football, rugby and, of course, this week, hockey fixtures to take a look towards. But we're going to start with the footballing side of things because it's been a busy opening couple of weeks to the latest Manx football season, and it's going to get even busier this weekend with action across both Saturday and Sunday pending. To go through it all with us, as always, is our football correspondent, Tony Meffin. Tony, very good evening.
Good evening, Rob. Sorry about the later entry coming in there. The road was quite busy out there, but we're in. Weather's just started to rain as well, so hopefully that doesn't affect anything tomorrow. But I still think we're a couple of referees short for tomorrow's game, so if there's anyone out there who said they couldn't officiate and now find they can, just get in touch with the office or myself and we'll get it sorted out if we can.
Indeed. Well, hopefully we can get that sorted. Let's take a look ahead to the fixtures then that are taking place this weekend across Saturday and Sunday. We'll get to Sunday's fixtures in a moment, but first off, the attention turns to Saturday. So teams across the respective men's divisions now either one, two or three games in at the moment, depending on how fixtures have gone. Starting with a look at Canada Life Men's Premier League on Saturday. A reminder, as always, that all games across the men's divisions kicking off at 2:30 p.m, but with two exceptions this week. We'll come to those in just a little bit, but we'll start with the top flight, the Canada Life Men's Premier League. First fixture I want to take a look at, Tony, is actually, we've got a mouth-watering tie coming up at the top of the table today, but I actually want to talk about, to start with, one that could be very crucial at the bottom in these early stages, because Foxtel, tough start to the season for them, up against the Union Mill side, who've also had a bit of a challenging start.
Yeah, I think when you look at Foxtel, I think everyone knew that it was going to be harder this season who are involved with Foxtel, because you've lost your two main strikers and losing your goalkeeper as well, as a good goalkeeper, Andy Ball, then it was always going to be a problem. But Andy Corkle's got the players sort of committed. And, you know, when you see Jay Chatwood getting off the flight last week at 1:30 and then on the football field at 2 o'clock or 2:30, whatever it was, then fair play to them. But, yeah, they're struggling a little bit. Union Mills as well lost one or two key players. So Ryan Kelly will be looking to see if they can get some points on the board, because at the moment, just that one point, they're languishing down towards the bottom. And with that great start to the season that they had last year, looking to improve it. And I think Union Wills by taking the points away from Foxtel.
Just very quickly before we move on, and it is very early in the season, we should point this out, but is this possibly a six-pointer early in the campaign for either of these two sides or not? Is it too early to say?
No, totally agree with you, Rob. You've got to sort of take the points away from the teams that you're languishing with down the bottom. And I think when everyone sort of looked at it, Union Mills, Braddon, Douglas High School Old Boys and Foxtel just thought, they'll be bottom four. Maybe Onken would creep into it. But from what I've seen of Onken and Braddon this season so far, I think the young players that they've got there will improve as the season goes, and we'll keep them out of that danger zone.
Indeed. Well, from a battle towards the bottom to a battle right toward the top, Tony, this looks like a mouth-watering fixture right at the start of the season, doesn't it? Because the defending men's Premier League champions, Peel, who by their own very high standards may have not had the start that they wanted, coming up against the current league leaders, Corinthians. Peel hosting Corinthians, and Tony, Corinthians 3-3, top on goal difference, and that goal difference by a considerable margin so far. Just how big a game is this?
It's a huge game. Huge game for both teams, I think, because I think Corinthians have set a statement out, and let's face it, the start of the season, when you look at the players that came back in, you knew that they were going to sort of challenge, and as were with Peel dropping points recently, then just a little bit of doubt in the squad. When you look at Peel going forward, Thomas Brown, you've got Lee Gale, Jay Chalmers in there as well, absolutely brilliant, but it's defensively that they've got to get things nice and tight. And against the Corinthians forward line, that's free scoring, what they scored 6 in the first, 8 in the second, 10 in the third, then you don't want to face them. And Luke Murray certainly has found his feet very, very quickly. And Sean Doyle coming in, and you look at Josh Ridings, who's looked impressive up front. But you also look at defensively. And the only thing is, you know, they've changed it tomorrow. And, you know, Baron Colley will come in, and he's an absolute superb young player. He's only 18 years of age, with Ryan Burdens in there playing well. Matthew Quirk in goal, we know about him, but midfield, just working so, so hard. And with a young player like Declan Blake in there, then Noah Vowles is back in the team. They're looking really strong. And just with Peel, you've just got to see what their starting lineup. One or two rumours, someone might be missing, but I don't think the players have listened to that. And I just think the way Corinthians have started, and home advantage for Peel, Corinthians will be looking to beat them, and I think they'll just sneak it.
I think there could be plenty of spectators at that one over at Douglas Road tomorrow.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, over at Blackberry Lane, Douglas High School Old Boys, it's been a tricky start for them. Some tough fixtures to start their season so far. They're coming up against another of the teams with a perfect record. There are three teams with perfect records in these opening three games that they've played, Corinthians being one of them. And Old Boys coming up against Rushen United. And Rushen, fantastic start for them.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Old Boys as well, they've done well. Speaking to, I know they haven't had many sort of talking points with goals and stuff like that, but they feel that they've acquitted themselves well. And I watched them in the under-18s on Wednesday, and there's a glut of talented young players in there that will come in and I think hold their own once they find their feet. But Rushen, you know, Andrew Moody's got them playing well. You look relying on the old guns like Stevie Riding, sorry, Steve, you know, just getting in there. And I just feel that Rushen will be a little bit too strong for Old Boys. Good pitch at Old Boys. They've done a great job during the summer. And credit to everybody. But I just think Rushen will prove too strong. And that's why they're unbeaten so far this season.
And I mentioned there were three teams with perfect records, and the third of those is Laxey. They're going to be at home against Ayr United, Tony. And I've covered this game personally the last couple of seasons, this tie at Glen Road, and it's always been an entertaining affair. I say that now, and we'll get a goalless draw tomorrow. So sorry if I've put the broadcaster's curse on that one. But great start to the season for Laxey. Ayr United, tough fixtures to open their season, but seem to be there or thereabouts in these early stages.
Definitely. They've only dropped those 2 points with that draw. And, you know, sort of Laxey showed great character last week, didn't they? They were trailing, came back in. Joe Walters will be suspended because he got sent off last week. So that won't help things. But no, credit to Ayr United, because I'm not too sure if Johnny Shields is back in the squad yet, but Sean Kelly, when he's in there, and I think one or two other players have sort of taken responsibility. Chris Kurtz won, certainly Chris Duggan can score goals, and just right the way through, Ayr United have really battled, and I think that's basically the leader of the pack, and that's Jamie Callister at the back. He's immense as a leader, he's immense as a defender, and just drives them on. And I think certainly against Laxey, they're going to come up against a very organised side. It's a tighter pitch, so it will contain the two sides, but Ayr United's pitch is probably a little bit smaller than Laxey's, which, you know, they play to their advantage. Good close battle. I think Laxey's form at the moment really strong, but I think the loss of Joe Walters will cost them, and I'm going to go for a draw.
Two other games of the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Over at the Niverson Stadium, Onken, who Tony watched get a big win against St Mary's away from home the other week, coming up against Ramsey, Tony.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sort of looking at Ramsey, it's what players they've got available. And Callum Hudson, I don't think, is in the FC Isle of Man squad, so he will come into that side. He looked strong on Wednesday in the under-18s. But again, there's one or two players coming back in. Dylan Pickles is another. And just when you look at sort of the players available for them, I've heard that one of the, to me, their better players has transferred possibly to Ayr United this week, and that's Alfie Scott. If that's true, then that'll cost them a little bit. But I think, you know, Andy Perry, Anthony Cooper there know this is going to be a tough game, because trust me, I thought Onken were absolutely superb last Saturday. And when I watched them in the under-18s, and most of them were 16, maybe a couple of 17-year-olds, the way they play football is brilliant. And credit to Andy Asperidge, who's played a big part in that, and other people. And I think Onken have got a great opportunity at the stadium to beat Ramsey, and I'm going to stick my neck out here and say they're going to do it.
Very well. And the final game, the Canada Ifans Premier League tomorrow, sees St John's United, who are still searching for their first win of the season, up against St Mary's at Mullina Cloy.
Yeah, and you're probably not privy to this, but there's been a little bit of sort of hassle over the week with St Mary's, because Josh Evans, their chairman, has decided it's a cardinal sin to get married in the season. You don't do that. You need to stamp your authority down, Josh. And I'm only joking.
I hope his partner's not listening to that.
I think they've gone. They've already left because they're struggling. They're not playing the combination game this week. And then the first team, they were looking to get that postponed, but there's enough players there registered, so they've got them in. And it just comes at a time with St John's where you're going to be facing Callum Taggart. You've also got Dean Lees. You've got Liam Sale, who was the top goal scorer and player in Combination 1 last year. And then to throw into that, Reece Oates is available this week as well. So it really is pointing towards St John's. They welcome back Sam Ingham at the back, so he'll keep things nice and tight. And I just think, with Andrew Chadwick and others in that team as well, St John's will prove too strong and an understrength St Mary's, and St John's will pick up the 3 points.
OK, let's move on to our Dern and Drugg Unlimited Division 2, 4 games scheduled this weekend. One of those, which will start with Tony, slightly earlier kickoff than the half two. It's going to be at 2 o'clock at St Ninian's, Governors Athletic versus Maloo.
Yeah, and just be careful of that, everybody. Governors Athletic now have moved their home venue to St Ninian's School, so, you know, it's at the top of Bray Hill there, and you've just got to just admire Governors for doing it, because it's a great pitch. I walked it last Saturday morning and absolutely brilliant, and Maloo will be looking to play on this one, and Maloo got one or two of their dream team back again. I think they've maybe gained one or two players this week. I haven't seen all the transfers, but we'll get a hold of them tomorrow morning. But Governors Athletic probably feel that they're strong enough on this pitch to get the points out of it, so I'm just going to look at it as on as even. I'm going to go for a draw in this Athletic against Maloo.
And then over at Bala Fletcher, Douglas Royal versus Colby, Tony, and two teams that maybe in the long run have ambitions of pushing towards the top of the table.
Yes. The reason why I hesitate, Rob, is because Douglas Royal obviously gained quite a few Colby players, two or three. From what I believe, they've transferred back this week. Again, I've got no evidence of it, but someone give me the heads up on it. And if it's true, you know, people like Carl Hickey and probably Steve Collins have gone back, then that will make Colby a lot, lot stronger. Douglas Royal, heavy defeat last week, and they've got to, if that is true, that those players have moved, then it'll make them a little bit weaker in front of goal. So it's touch and go where to go with this one. But if those players have transferred, I'm going to go for Colby to take victory.
Then over at the Memorial playing fields, Moran versus Pulrose United, and at least one team's perfect record has to go. Moran have won their only games so far. Pulrose United, 2 wins from 2.
Yeah, and Pulrose have done really well, and there's a lot of confidence in that team at the moment. You can see why they've done it. The players that they've signed at the start of the season have made them a lot stronger. You know, Barry English can score goals, Owen Canepa can score goals. And if you've got people like that in the team, then you can sort of really have a go at anyone in front of you. But Moran, from what I can gather, it's near enough the same squad as last year. Maybe one or two players not available for this game, but the squad is there. No one really left. So that could be interesting. And Moran, when you look at it, have only played one game, and some teams are playing their fourth tomorrow then. Maybe a little bit rusty, but I think the way Pulrose have started, I'm going to go for Pulrose to win.
And the fourth and final game in our Dern and Drugg Unlimited Division 2 this weekend seems a little bit of a mismatch on paper, at least, because it is top versus bottom, because Castletown, top of the table, 3 wins from 3, plus 18 goal difference coming up against Douglas and District, bottom of the table, 3 defeats from 3, a goal difference of minus 14.
Yeah, fantastic start by Castletown, credit to them. And I think Gary Sansbury's still in charge, so, you know, it's a really good start. And you know, when you look at sort of the players last year, you look at the goal scorers last week, Rob Tier, one of them. You know, they've stayed with the club, and well done to them. Alex Crawley will always be a pain, and it's a nice pain to have, is someone who's always going to score your goals, because he's a tricky player. He's getting a little bit older now, but I think he's getting a little bit wiser, because, you know, he likes a red card here and there. But I think he knows that if Castletown are going to keep pressing for this Division 2 top of the table position, then they need him in that squad just to give a little bit of a sort of boost to the younger players in there. And I think they'll do it, Castletown, because great form. Douglas and District, they conceded a lot of goals, minus 14 goal difference, but still good attitude in the club. I think one or two players may have switched camps this week from them, so that'll be disappointment for them. But there's one thing about it, D&D will give 100% in this game. Castletown will know that, but I think Castletown just too strong.
Okay, let's take a quick look through the Combination League. So we'll start with Canada Life Combination 1. We've got 6 games scheduled this weekend, one of those an early kickoff. And just a very quick glance at the league table, if you like. Corinthians top after 3 games, 3 wins from 3, followed by Russian United, 2 wins and a draw from their first 3. St Mary's played 4, won 2, drawn 1, lost 1. But 6 games there, Tony. And as I mentioned as well, if you could clarify as well, we do have an earlier kickoff as well.
An earlier kickoff, but that one, as I say, that game's been awarded to St John's because St Mary's haven't got enough players. But Union Mills against Foxdale, so the bottom 2 teams, and it's Union Mills are just ahead of Foxdale with that 1 point. Close battle. I'll go for Union Mills to win. Corinthians against Peel, this could be a right humdinger because, Russian are always there or thereabouts, and you look at them in that second position in the league table, they'll be looking to beat Corinthians. I've seen Corinthians' team very, very strong, and if you can play an Ireland player in your combination, then it just shows you how strong your first team is. So go for Corinthians to win. Russian against Douglas High School All Boys, that's one of the games that we're looking for a referee, and we're trying to work with that one, see if we can find a solution. Ayr United against Laxey, you have to go for maybe Ayr United just to win, not much between them in the league. Ramsey against Onchan, great team last year. A lot of those players have come through. They've played one game less than a lot of teams around them. So if they got those points, they'll be right up there. But Ramsey are always strong. So I'm going to go for a draw in that. And as I said, the St Mary's game has been postponed.
Very well. And then rounding up things on Saturday, we've got 6 games in Combination 2. We'll take a quick look at that league table as it stands. Again, very early days, of course, a mixture of teams playing either 2 or 3 games so far. There are 3 teams with perfect records in Ardern and Drug Unlimited Combination 2, 3 wins from 3. Paul Rose United, Castletown and Ramsey Centre and Old Boys. Douglas Athletic also have a perfect record, 2 wins from 2, though, so they've still got an extra game to play. So, Tony, very early days, but a busy schedule as usual tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. And let's have a look at the Malou against Governors Athletic. I'll go for Malou to win that one. Jim's against D&D. I think maybe one or two sort of players being moved up to the first team for D&D might they make them a little bit weaker, but we'll go for a draw. Colby against Douglas Royal, I'm going to go with Colby to win that one. Castletown against Michael. Castletown second in the league, so them to take victory. Poros against Moran. Tight game this one against relegated side, but Paul Rose, top of the table, played 3, won 3, so I'll go for Paul Rose. And St George's against Douglas Athletic. We've already seen there's a lot of good players in that team. Yes, they are 35 plus, but if you've got Lee Ford in your team, he can score plenty of goals, and I think that'll be the difference. I'll go for Athletic, take victory.
Very well, and it's not only football action taking place on Saturday, because Sunday is set to be the opening weekend of the 25-26 women's season on the Isle of Man. 3 opening fixtures are pending for Sunday, all due to get underway on the day at 2 p.m. And this campaign, the Isle of Man Women's League is welcoming 2 new sides in the form of Russian United and Union Mills. I caught up this week with Union Mills women's head coach Wayne Christian and assistant coach Zoe McDonough to find out how much they're looking forward to the season ahead.
Yeah, all the girls are really excited. We've been training right through the summer, sometimes twice a week. We've been in the business league, did quite well in that as well, won a few games against the sort of opposition who were around about our position as well. So yeah, it's all looking promising.
Zoe, in terms of the players that are going to be involved, I understand there's quite a mix as well, as some new faces along with some who've already experienced Manx football as well.
Yeah, we've got a great age range from 16 to 50 and mixed abilities, and some have got some prior experience and others have come from different sports, but no, they're all well up for it this season.
And of course, Wayne, it can be difficult when you're coming up against teams like Corinthians and Peel, for example, who have been towards the top of Manx women's football for the last couple of years. But how important is it to emphasise to your players, especially for those who are new to the sport as well, to go out and enjoy the experience, because you're all putting a lot of time and effort into it?
Yeah, that's it. Basically, we've just sort of said to each other, this season is our learning curve. We haven't, some of us never done it before, so myself included, with managing Manx football at a senior level. So yeah, just go out, have fun and give it all on the pitch, really.
And so just on a general point, it's something I know here on Manx Radio, we've talked about over the last couple of seasons in what's direction of women's football, really. But to see, not just for yourselves, but generally, 2 more teams coming in, that means more players coming in, more coaches and assistants coming in. How positive a move do you think that could be just for the Manx game in general, that we're getting more involved in the Women's League?
I think it's great for the Women's League in general and Manx football. I think it's nice to see the girls really motivated, and coming down to when we've seen the pre-season tournament there was a lot of support down there, considering the conditions. But no, as I say, it's all positive. It's nice to see new faces turning up every other week. It's going really well.
How important is it that throughout the season you can maybe as one of the main objectives, if indeed it is one of the main objectives, build that team and build that sort of, I suppose, community atmosphere within the club. How important is that?
Union Mills in general is just a community oriented. It's all like a massive family. So yeah, we've got a great junior set up and that feeds down into your ladies set up. And yeah, no, I think it's really important.
In terms of the season going forward, have you got any particular objectives in mind?
Just that everybody should have a laugh, I think, and just enjoy it.
I mean, obviously, you know, we all want to win. You can't deny that sort of thing. But if we can pick up a couple of points along the way, and yes, as long as they come off the field having a smile on their face, that's all I can ask for, really.
That was Union Mills women's head coach Wayne Christian and assistant coach Zoe McDonough speaking ahead of Union Mills' new season in the Isle of Man Women's League this season, the Women's League getting underway this Sunday. Tony, very quickly before we look at the fixtures, two new teams in the Isle of Man Women's League this season. Is that a positive?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, well done to Jamie Lee Ferns, who's the new Women's Development Officer. Russian we knew was coming in, so, you know, Simon had worked on that last year, but credit to them both for getting two teams in, and now we want to build on that one. But, you know, when you look at it, Russian have been in it before and a really strong side. And when you look at Union Mills, they had two sides at one stage and won the league, so, you know, they're good.
Take a look at the three fixtures then on Sunday. Canada Life Women's League all kicking off at 2 o'clock. We'll start with Union Mills, actually. They're going to start their campaign against Douglas Royal.
Yeah, as I say, not much history at the moment, so it's hard to predict. But on that one, I think the experience, and there's not a lot of experience in there, of Douglas Royal should just be able to take the points.
And elsewhere, the other newcomers, if you like, or returning team, we should say, to the Alabama Women's League, Russian United, they'll be hosting Onken.
Yeah, and it's home advantage, so it's nice for them. Donna's team certainly is, Donna Harrison's, they've trained hard, so they're fit. But Onken this week, I believe, probably the best women's footballer, I think. Casey Halsall has come back to the sport. And, you know, sort of, it's great to see her back in there. She's transferred from Corinthians to Onken. And I just think if she plays, that could be the difference between Onken taking the points away from Russian.
And the other tie is down south at Clackvane, and that sees last season's Women's FA Cup finalist Malou taking on the defending champions Peel.
Yeah, and again, Malou, they've sort of lost one or two players, but they'll still be strong enough. There's a good, how can I say, friendship there of the players. And as well with Peel, no Wayne Lisi, he's sort of stepped down. He's become a dad again, obviously, and also we're doing the Ireland side. So it's going to be one of those, and wait and see how strong Peel's side is, but it should be strong enough to win.
And just a reminder as well, we have two games of the Masters football this weekend on Sunday penned in. Colby versus Douglas High School All Boys, a 2:10 p.m. kickoff at the Bowl, and then after that, 3:40, Peel versus Onken.
Yeah, and Onken have won the league recently, so they're always there or thereabouts, but lost a few players because they were All Boys players, and with All Boys new to the league, they've taken one or two from other clubs as well.
Okay, well, elsewhere, FC Alabama's 3-1 loss in midweek at Cheadle Town was the Ravens' fifth straight league defeat, keeping them rooted at the bottom of the NWCFL Premier Division. The Manx side return to action tomorrow night on home soil at the Bowl when they face Charnock Richard. Well, after Tuesday's defeat, two of FC Alabama's players, Sam Baines and Dean Pinnington, gave a passionate post-match interview urging fans to keep faith in them and that everyone at the club is doing their best to turn results around. Well, as well as asking about this weekend's challenge, I asked FC Alabama manager Paul Jones what he thought of his players giving their thoughts on the situation they find themselves in.
Yeah, I mean, we've been looking for the players to take kind of responsibility and accountability for their performances for a long time now. After the Bursco game on Saturday, Mikey came straight to me and said, you don't need to do a post-match, I want to do it. And after I got in the dressing room on Tuesday night, the players, and Dean and Sammy in particular, said, we want to talk, you don't need to do a post-match. And as a manager, I feel it's my responsibility to go out and front up because ultimately I carry the can, but the players have been adamant in the last two games that they wanted to have a voice. And we've spoken a little bit about, I think players, it'd be good for them to do more media stuff. I think that, you know, speaking after games or before games is a good thing for them to do. And hopefully that's going forwards in a positive way. Yeah, I was listening to what they were saying at the time, and you know, that's great, it's brilliant, it's just what you want to hear from a manager's point of view. You know, you can see they care, you can see that they, as a group, I know that they're talking on behalf of everybody from a players group point of view, and you know, they know it's not good enough. You know, as a manager, I can't act like a stereotypical manager in England who can kind of go in on the players one week and then bring other players in the next week. You know, I'm doing my best to protect them as much as I can and protect their confidence and take the flak. And that's what I'm there to do. If people are, you know, whinging at me and saying all sorts about me, then hopefully that means they're not doing it about the players because the players need support. So, you know, from my point of view, great. But words need to be backed with actions, don't they? So I'm hoping on Saturday and also in the games ahead that's what we see.
Turning to this weekend then, the general view seemed to be from some people around the Cheadle game was that although the first half wasn't great, is that things were much more positive in the second. How do you take maybe some of the positives that may have been taken in the second half of that game and try and apply it over 90 minutes against a Charnock Richard side who've had quite a steady start to the season?
Yeah, it's a mindset. You know, you and I have spoken about this quite a lot. There's very little doubt in my mind that the players are good enough. And if they're not good enough now, as a bigger group, then they are capable of being more than good enough to play consistently at a high level of football and to win games in this league on an ongoing basis. I think the bit that because they're quite young or immature in terms of their football experience at a high level, you know, that consistency of mindset and bringing what they need to every minute of every game often isn't there. And that's not just in Isle of Man players, that's in players all around the world. You know, the teams that have done well from the Isle of Man at an international or, you know, a higher level, all of those teams didn't do particularly well at times, as you know, in part of their learning journey. So, you know, this group are in that process. They hopefully have recognised after Tuesday night the minimum level of mindset and willingness to run and energy that they require just to have a chance within the game. And the more they do that, the more they remember it, the more they remind each other of it, the more they hold each other accountable to not dropping below that, the better. They just need to attack the game, be brave and be fearless. It's just going out and just being themselves and being who they're capable of.
That's FC Alabama manager Paul Jones ahead of his side's latest NWCFL Premier Division clash up against Charnock Richard at the Bowl in Douglas tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And if you're not heading down to the Bowl in person, we at Manx Radio have got you covered. Full live match commentary, FC Alabama versus Charnock Richard at 6 p.m. on Manx Radio DAB and AM 1368. Tony, just finally, got 30 seconds. What did you make of the players coming out and taking a bit of responsibility, they said, as well, for the performances and asking people to back them and keep the faith?
Yeah, well done to the two players for coming out, Dean and Sam. It's, you know, a big thing to do. They're very proud, and there's a lot of people out there proud of what FC Isle of Man have achieved. At the moment, their backs are to the wall, which hopefully they can sort of redeem themselves tomorrow night and get things sorted out. But yeah, it's a little bit of pressure. No manager wants that. No players want that. So the only way to do it is fix it on the park, and hopefully that'll happen tomorrow night.
Tony, thank you very much for catching up with you tomorrow night. So we'll be back in just a couple of moments. We'll be talking all things rugby and the start of the new Isle of Man hockey season. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. Don't go away.
Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. We're going to be turning our attention to rugby, and after a trio of Manx sides got their respective campaigns underway last weekend, it is match day two for Douglas, Vagabonds and Ramsey. They're all on their travels this week. Douglas in Regional 2 Northwest and Vagabonds and Ramsey in Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. And to take a look at what's in store for them, we have our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. Dave, very good evening.
Good evening, Rob.
Looking at Douglas first off then, it was a dramatic start for them, really. It went right down to the wire against newly promoted North Ribblesdale in Regional 2 Northwest. But nevertheless, Douglas got the job done at Portishee with a late victory. They're on the road this week, and Dave, by the looks of it, on paper at least, this looks like it could be an even more difficult challenge for them.
Yeah, Sandbach put in a massive score. I think they won 53-41 last week against Burnage. And last season, Burnage were one of the promotion favourites. So seeing them conceding 53 points to Sandbach does suggest to me that Sandbach might be a team to watch this season. Difficult to say. We're only early days yet. One game in, and Sandbach and Burnage could be demonstrably weaker this season, so until a few games have been played, it's hard to know exactly what's going on. Douglas were impressive in parts last week. The particularly gritty defence in the first half, I think it was 7-7 at half time against North Ribblesdale. North Rib had quite a lot of possession and territory in that first half, so to come away at 7-7 was a little bit of a bonus for Douglas and a testimony to the excellent defence. In the second half, Douglas took the lead and looked to be cruising away with it. I think they got the lead out to 19-7 at one stage, but they allowed Ribblesdale into it in the closing 20 minutes, and they were actually ahead 21-19 or 22-19 with probably less than 5 minutes to go. Douglas dug in. They played right to the very end. Some impressive line-out work in that stoppage time. Josh Campbell finding Liam Kirkpatrick time and time again from line-outs and penalties. And that allowed them to grind out the penalty try that gave them the win. Far from convincing is probably the best way to describe it. I'm sure Douglas will be saying the same thing during this week at training, particularly with one eye on that Sandbach result. The good news for them this week is the squad is largely unchanged. I think the front five is going to be exactly the same. They've got one change in the back row. Blake Everson out ill. He's being replaced by Ian Larson, which is a new name for me. In the back line, everything is as was, so just that one change. The other change notable for me, Simon Hodgenott onto the bench. He's so important for them. Not only can he play on both sides of the scrummage at prop, he's mobile, he carries the ball well. At a push, he can go into hooker. He's also played in the back row, and we've seen him play in the back line as well. So very talented player is Mr. Hodgenott, and it's great to see his name on the team sheet. I'm sure just that name alone will give the rest of the squad the boost they need. But yeah, tricky away from home. 2 o'clock kickoff for that one at Sandbach.
As you quite rightly pointed out, we're only one game in. You can't really draw too many conclusions, but just taking a look at the way the scoring went, if you like, just at a glance across the division there, Sandbach, this is excluding bonus points as well, scored the highest amount, 53 they got in the last game. So is that evidence of maybe a strong attack, and particularly when they're at home as well against this Douglas side?
Yeah, possibly, but they also, you have to remember on the other side of the coin that they conceded 41, which was quite a lot. So I guess in the analysis, I think somebody said, as long as you score more than the opposition, you're fine. Sandbach picked up their winning bonus point. I think Burnage picked up two. Maybe it was closer than 53-41. Maybe it was 43-51. But I think Burnage picked up two bonus points from that one. So it's okay, I guess.
There's one bonus point they picked up, Burnage.
As long as you keep scoring, everything's good. But if you've got a leaky defence, it will start to maybe creep up and just... it'll interfere with progress for sure, but like I said, one game in, too early to tell.
Indeed. Well, let's take a look at County 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. Both Vagabonds and Ramsey suffered defeat in their respective opening games of the season last weekend. Both back on their travels this time around. Taking a look first off at Vagabonds. They actually head to Congleton. Congleton, the team that defeated Ramsey last weekend.
Yeah, Ramsey going for it. They were losing 26-20 in the final 10 minutes and were pushing forward and pushing forward. Speaking to the lads last Saturday when they got back, they overcommitted a little bit going forward, which, as usual, leaves you exposed at the back. And Congleton took advantage and picked up a seven-pointer right at the closing stages, which put a bit of gloss on the scoreboard for them. Also denied Ramsey the losing bonus point. If they finished within seven, they'd have picked up something on the road. As I understand it, Congleton had a team stag trip away last week. They may be a bit stronger for Vagabonds this weekend. Difficult to tell. We don't have any team news from Bella Fletcher yet either. That will come probably later tonight. We get a closer look at the squad that's going away. Remember, it's only early stages of the season, but it is the travel commitment is a big ask for all players. So hats off to everybody who has travelled and will travel. You're doing a great job, fellas. But tomorrow, I think Vagabonds may struggle just a little bit if Congleton are stronger than they were last week.
And from Vagabond's side of things, last week, I think you pointed out in your preview, well, this time 7 days ago up against Burnley, it was going to be a tough ask, and Burnley ran out winners. Do you think Vagabonds will have had any concerns in that opening game of drawing a complete blank on the scoreboard?
No, I don't think so at all. Far too early for that. Some talented players up there for sure. Daniel Bonwick pulling on the reins at the captain as well. Gavin Turnbull in the back row is athletic and mobile. There's plenty of players in there who are going to do stuff for them. So I don't think they'll have any concerns about that. Burnley, according to Dan Bonwick last week, were a big physical side. They struggled to break them down. And unfortunately, the game was cut short because Tom Woolley from the Burnley bench suffered a nasty injury. So hopefully Tom will, fingers crossed, for a speedy and full recovery. The Burnley players are all thinking of him as well. But the game, they only played an hour for that. No indication as to whether or not Vagabonds were showing the potential maybe to have a breakthrough. But I think after an hour, 24-0 down, it was probably a done deal anyway.
Yeah, wishing all the best to the Burnley player who's involved in that incident last week. Elsewhere, County Stadium, Lancashire, Cheshire. Ramsey, we have just mentioned them. Let's take a look at that, because Ramsey, a 33-20 defeat last weekend against the aforementioned Congleton. So as you pointed out, Dave, losing out on that losing bonus point. But were Ramsey quite happy with that scoreline?
Yeah, pretty much. From speaking to the guys last Saturday, they know they've got a couple of bits and pieces to work on. Particularly defensively, and keeping an eye out when they're chasing the game. But they thought they were good for it. They were ahead at half-time, although it was very close. So, no, the squad reasonably happy when they got home. The difficulty they have this week is there's a significant number of changes to the squad. Former captain Eddie Lord is getting married tomorrow, and that means there's quite a few players going to the wedding and the reception who either were unwilling or unable to travel. So a little bit of a patch-it-up job for Ramsey. We got Neil Flynn will come into the front row. He was on the bench last week. In the back row, we're going to have Finlow Corkle starting. He was on the bench last week. We're also going to have a new player, Finn Bradley, in the squad. Gary and Daniel will be in the squad. And veteran warhorse Aaron Curfew will be getting a trot out as well. So Ramsey having to pull a few strings to get a squad out. But get a squad out they will. And maybe it'll give the youngsters a bit of experience. But they may find they're going a little bit tough at Bury.
And just very quickly, Dave, we can touch on this, I think, a little bit more next week, but Vagabonds Ladies will be preparing for their season to start. That's next weekend, Saturday the 20th of September. From what you've heard, maybe, those involved, how have pre-season preparations gone over there?
The girls have been training very hard. They've got a couple of former older players maybe going to put the boots on again for them, just to give a little bit of extra stability. But by and large, that was it was a pretty good performance. I've watched the Vagabonds ladies team for a number of years now. And at first, they had a lot of learning to do. But watching them last season, they're running patterns. There's good, strong lines. There's big ball carries. Malin Campbell in particular, running straight lines, huge defensive hits. I mean, it was brilliant to watch. And we've seen the likes of Isla Curfey. She dotted down her first try for Loughborough Lightning in the Women's Premiership. She came through Vagabonds Ladies. So, the team is producing players who are capable of playing at the highest level in women's rugby. And long may that continue. I think Malin Campbell could be the next star. Got our fingers crossed for her. But it's not just the big runners out there. They've got plenty of pace on the wings. Freya Crowe was really good last season. She got the ball in any sort of space. She was gone. So there's plenty of talent there with Vagabonds Ladies. And maybe they can just get over the promotion line this season.
Well, we'll take a look at that in more detail next week when Vagabonds Ladies prepare to get their campaign underway on Saturday, the 20th of September. Dave, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, finally tonight, we're going to be turning our attention to hockey, and it is the start this Saturday of the 25-26 Isle of Man hockey season. Specifically, it'll be the 2025 Mixed League competitions getting underway with fixtures across all four senior divisions and the Mixed Under-15s League as well. And that means we are joined by a man who's been, well, all over the schedule at times for Manx Radio elsewhere, but he's back where he belongs here on Friday Sport Preview, our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham. Ben, good evening.
Good evening. It's good to be back in my normal spot.
Indeed, I've seen you absolutely everywhere else bar hockey, but of course we've had the off-season, haven't we? But Ben, very quickly before we actually dive into the fixtures, we did have as well a bit of a pre-season tournament that went on with some of the top flight mixed teams in the last week or so, and preparations training going across the respective clubs as well. So in terms of the preparations across the Manx hockey community, if you like, how have things been over the last couple of weeks while everyone's been getting ready for the season?
Yeah, I think it's been really good. I mean, the tournament you're talking about, that was between Backers, Castletown, Valkyries and Harlequins. So four of the Premiership teams there all played out. Very close matches. I think the highest scored match in one of them, I think, was 2-1, if I'm correct.
Very close margin. There was one game that was won by a 2-goal margin. Any other victories were by a 1-goal margin.
So hopefully it's a sign of what's to come in the Mixed Premier League this year. As for other clubs, I'm sure they've been doing a few pre-season friendlies, arranging them with other clubs. But yeah, I think every club on the island now is looking forward to getting back on the pitch tomorrow. We've got a full list of umpires all appointed for tomorrow's games, which is great to see for the first weekend. And yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have a great mixed season, lots of competitive action and some nail-biting things to come.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a look at those opening fixtures then. Let's start with the mixed Premier League, running through these. So we've got two games pushing back at 12:35 and two at 2:05. We'll start with the two games pushing back at 12:35. One of those at the NSC, actually starting off with an inter-club derby in the top flight because Vikings A are taking on Vikings B.
Yeah, and you would favour the A team to come out on top, but of course don't rule out the B team to give the A team a good run for their money. I mean, I can speak much here, Rob, but I'm sure you could speak about Vikings derbies. They're always fun and feisty occasionally.
Yeah, there's always a good balance, I think it's fair
Absolutely,
to say, from my previous
yeah.
experience. So, I'm not just being democratic. That is my genuine opinion, is that there's always a good balance of competitive and a friendly side.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you would favour the A team to come out on top on that one. But, yeah, like I say, don't rule out the B team, giving the A team a bit of a run for their money.
Indeed. And the other 12:35 pushback is a QE2 in Peel. And Valkyries A, who I think, Ben, you've said in your preview, maybe by their standards, not quite the campaign they were looking for, they're coming up against Backers B.
Yeah, they didn't have the best of campaigns last season. I think definitely one that they probably won't look back on too much. But then Backers B will be making sure that they avoid being in that relegation battle this season. I would favour, though, Valkyries A, though, to just come out on top on this one.
And in the 2:05 pushbacks at the NSC, Harlequins A up against Castletown Celts. And Ben, by my recollection from last season, there were some quite close games between these two sides in the last campaign.
And I have got this down as game of the week, and to be honest, because I think it's going to live up to what I said in my preview and what you've
no
just
pressure.
Said, Rob. Yeah, exactly. No pressure. Well, I'm going to be hiding in the studio here, so I can say it here now. But yeah, when these two sides met last year, it was always very close, and it did come down to just one goal between the two sides. It could go either way. I'm on the fence on this one.
And the fourth and final mixed Premier League game, a 2:05 pushback at King William's College. Intriguing one, this one, because it is the defending champions Backers A. They're going to be travelling to newly promoted Castletown Southerners. That's a tough test for a newly promoted side.
Yeah, newly promoted Castletown Southerners, winners of Division 1 last year, faced a tough task, like you say, against the current reigning champions of the mixed Premier League. And they will definitely be wanting to keep their hands on the trophy this year. Backers A, it's going to be a tough test for Southerners, but Backers A, you just have to look back last year, how ruthless they were, how clinical they were. It was, they punished teams left, right and centre for just little mistakes here and there. So good luck to Castletown Southerners on their first game in the Premier League, but it's going to be a tough task against a very good Backers A side.
And just before we move on very quickly, just a quick word on the format for the Mixed Premier League this season. So there's eight teams, as you may have heard just there. And what's going to happen is the league will split after all the teams have played each other once. The top four will then play each other again, whilst the bottom four will then play each other. On to Mixed Division 1. Just the six teams and no split at the halfway point of the season in Mixed Division 1. So it's just going to be a straight run, if you like, for Mixed Division 1. Three games tomorrow. Starting off over at Ramsey Grammar School in the North of the Island. 12:35 pushback. Backers C up against a Ramsey A side, Ben, who no doubt will be wanting to try and get themselves back in the hunt to get back in the top flight.
Absolutely. And I mean, I know Ramsey have been away as a club. I think it was their ladies side were away competing across in the UK just last weekend. So good pre-season training for them. And yeah, things definitely looking like Ramsey want to make sure that they can try and get back into the Premier League. Backers C, though, will give them a good test, but I think Ramsey A might surprise us this year and bounce back. They've had a bit of a restructure over the pre-season period, as you might have seen on social media and that. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Ramsey come out this year.
So 12:35 at Ramsey Grammar School, that game. 2:05 at QE2, an inter-club derby, Valkyries B versus Valkyries C out in the West.
Yeah, Western Derby, two derbies here. Looking at, you've got the Vikings one in the Premier League, then Division 1, you've got the Western Derby. You would favour the B team to come out on top over the C team, but we've seen it before, though, when Valkyries derbies have happened, they can only be split by one goal.
There is actually another derby, which we'll get to in a little bit further down the divisions. Well, the third and final game, Mixed Division 1, a 3:35 pushback at the NSC. That sees Vikings C up against Harlequins B.
Yeah, and Harlequins B, of course, promoted last year up from Division 2 into Division 1. Absolutely phenomenal season they had last year, undefeated all season, and they went on and took the bowl and that. So, yeah, they'll be looking to have a great season this year. Against the Viking Seaside, it could be interesting, that one, I reckon, but I think Harlequins might just prove themselves in that game.
Mixed Division 2, just quickly on the format there, like Mixed Division 1, it'll be six teams yet again, and there won't be a split at the halfway point of the season. So three games in Mixed Division 2 to open things up tomorrow. One of the two 12:35 pushbacks is at Castle Rushen High School, and this is another Interclub Derby to start things up. Castletown Cosney against Castletown Camags.
Yeah, Cosney promoted from Division 3 last season against their Camags side. It'll be interesting to see how Cosney get on in this league, because there's not one but three Castletown teams in this league. So the two other teams facing all the other teams in this league will probably face Castletown quite a lot this season. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. It'll be interesting, definitely.
Yeah, the other teams are going to have to get used to playing against Castletown shirts, because as you rightly point out, those were two of three Castletown teams in that division. The other Castletown team is involved in the other 12:35 pushback at King William's College, to Castletown Cushags, and they're up against Vikings D.
Yeah, and Vikings D looked really strong last season. Cushags, it'd be interesting to see how they come out, because of course, with Castletown teams, they make us wonder if that's their first team, their second team, or their fifth team with their team names. They don't give us a clue. It's the team names. So it'll be interesting to see how Castletown have got all three sides in this division formed out. But Vikings D will definitely give them a good run.
And then Mixed Division 3. Now, a bit of a change to Mixed Division 3 this season, because we have an extra team that's joined Mixed Division 3 this season, specifically Harlequins D. And that means there are eight teams in total. And like the Mixed Premier League, each team will play each other once, and then the league will split at the halfway point. Four games then, and three of those are pushing back at the earlier time of 11:05 in the morning. We'll start with the one that's at the NSC, and that sees Backers D up against Ramsey. Oh, in fact, actually, before I get to those, I do apologise. I've missed out the final game on Mixed Division 2 there. I'm just getting back into things. Give me a chance here.
I'll let you off.
2:05 at Ramsey Grammar School in Mixed Division 2, Backers Colts versus Ramsey Ravens.
Yeah, and when these two met each other in the league last year, it was a very close encounter. I know we went and covered one of the games last year, and it actually ended 0-0. So,
a rarity in Manx hockey.
Exactly,
a lot of the time.
Absolutely.
And then we will now get to Mixed Division 3. So three, as I mentioned, early pushbacks at 11:05 in the morning tomorrow. First of those, Backers D versus Ramsey Rookies at the NSC.
Yeah, Backers D had a great campaign last year, and I'm sure they'll want to do it again this year. Just missed out on promotion on the final day of the season, because this league went to the last day of the season last year. Ramsey Rookies, again, it'll be interesting to see what youth and experience they bring through that squad, because Rookies last year brought a lot of their younger players through that squad, which was great to see the younger players getting their senior debut.
Another of the 11:05 pushbacks, a QE2, Valkyries D up against Backers Mixed Bucks.
Yeah, Valkyries D, of course, relegated from Division 2 last year, will be wanting to make amends of that. Against Backers Mixed Bucks side, now this side was the new team last year that we were talking about, and they really did make a good account for themselves. So it'd be interesting to see if they can keep that form up again this season.
The other 11:05 pushback in Mixed Division 3 is at Castle Rushen High School, Vikings E versus Harlequins C.
Vikings E, again, another side that just missed out on that promotion on the final day of the season. Harlequins C, they had a good steady season last year, and I'm sure they'll be hoping for the same again this year.
And last but certainly not least, in the senior leagues, Mixed Division 3, 3:35 pushback at Castle Rushen High School. It is the new boys, or I should say new team, I should say. It's a mixed league. Must get that right. Harlequins D versus Castletown Carrick.
Yeah, and again, we don't know how this Harlequins D side is going to form this year, so it'd be interesting to see how they form, how they play out against Castletown Carrick, who are a good senior side. So it'd be interesting to see how Harlequins D do come out on this.
Yeah, nothing to go off just yet. Well, those are the senior leagues. And also, I'll just give a quick mention as well. The Mixed Under-15s League starts tomorrow. 2:05 pushback at Castle Rushen High School is a Castletown derby. It's Castletown Sabres versus Castletown Sharks. And then we have two games pushing back at 3:35 in the Mixed Under-15s League tomorrow. Over at QE2 out in the west of the island, Valkyries will host Backers. And then at 3:35 at Ramsey Grammar School in the north of the island will be Vikings up against Ramsey. And Ben, just a reminder of very quickly, we've got around 10 seconds here. Umpires, are we okay for the opening weekend?
We're absolutely okay for this weekend. Full list of umpires, all appointed. So we're ready to rock and roll tomorrow morning from 11 o'clock.
Excellent. Ben, thank you very much, and good to have you back as always. That just about wraps things up here on Friday Sport Preview. Many thanks to my guests as always. Have yourself a wonderful Friday evening, whatever you're doing, and have yourself a wonderful weekend as well. But from me and the team here, until next time, it's bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.